keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario on stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV and the antimedia.org/radio. Thank you all for coming back. And I'm super happy to be back and glad to be alive in these crazy times. April 24, 2017. Hopefully everybody had a great Earth Day. It's one of those few holidays that we should really take more seriously because, damn, we're like messing up the Earth left and right. I mean, I just saw an article today about the amount of carbon in the atmosphere. It's just, you know, it's getting extreme. And so Earth Day, it should be a much bigger holiday that we start talking about solutions to these issues of pollution and just, you know, climate change and fossil fuels. And of course that goes along with the whole argument about centralized energy and oil and gas and stuff, and do we really need all that stuff? Highly centralized forms of energy, which, you know, it's not healthy no matter which way you look at it. It's bad for our economy, it's bad for our planet, it's bad for our own freedom. Because if someone else controls our energy, our gas, our fuel, our electricity, well, that means that they control you in some way or another. And so Earth Day, we should be looking at solutions to decentralize our energy systems and our energy grids. The obvious first choice to look at is like solar paneling and stuff. But there's some really interesting, innovative things going on all around the world with clean energy, like generating electricity out of the currents of the ocean, and of course, wind energy, hydroelectric, a bunch of different things that people are doing right now. We just covered on the Anti-Media last week about how Portland is getting ready to harness methane from its sewer system. So it's like literally turning your shit into energy. That being said, let me get a few things out of the way. First of all, obviously we weren't on air on Wednesday. There was some kind of glitch in the matrix where someone else was on our show, and I'm sure a lot of people noticed. Sorry for that. Me and Jake was here in the studio, and we were like super excited to like get the show going, and then we go to call in and it wouldn't connect, and then we turn on the radio and like we're like, who the hell are those guys? Not us.
I was heartbroken. Nick, I'm still heartbroken, actually.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it was like our only show of the year where you were going to be in the studio, and it didn't work out. So,
Well, at least two drunk jackals got to talk on air for a little while.
Yeah, and us drunk jackals got to talk amongst ourselves, I guess, right? Instead of hearing me and Jake being drunk, you heard some other drunk people. No, I'm just kidding. We weren't drunk yet. We got drunk later that night, but we weren't drunk yet at that point. Let's see. Where are we at? So first of all, Jake, do you want to say anything about Earth Day before we break into this new stuff?
You know, I mean, off the top of my head, I think you pretty much nailed it. I actually just posted a video that's very funny on Facebook. It's, what if the Earth treated us the way we treat it? And it's this kind of comedic video of a woman dressed up like the Earth, just basically like pouring oil on people and throwing trash on them and, you know, screaming at them. It's pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, we're at the point now, and Manny, I'm sure Manny will agree with me on this, and especially since, you know, vegetarianism, which Manny, who's joining us as well, is a big advocate of, you know, the carbon emissions that come from animal agriculture are such a big part of the equation. And if families could just cut back even a meal a week on using animal products, it would help a lot. But we're really getting to the point now where future generations, I believe it's called, there's a short word for it, but generational ecocide, which is that we're basically, our children and grandchildren are going to inherit a toxic, poisoned earth. And it's really getting to the point now where, our children and grandchildren are going to grow up and they're gonna ask us, what the hell were you guys doing? Like, you know, our waterways are polluted, our air is polluted. What the hell were you guys thinking? You knew it was happening and you didn't do anything about it. And I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think government or private industry is, I don't think a free market or a government can offer us a full solution right now. I don't know. What do you guys think of the solution?
Yeah, man, great points. And as you mentioned, we've got our longtime guest in the studio tonight, Manny Aguilar. I'm sure you got plenty to say about Earth Day. And I mean, first of all, what, you know, Jake was talking about, you know, you're a vegetarian. And that's one thing that is so instrumental in cutting back our pollution. Just cutting back our meat consumption. And it's the one thing that people don't want to do. And I'm myself included. I mean, I don't think I could ever become a vegetarian, but you know, knowing what the meat industry does to the planet, I mean, I have no problem cutting back, you know, trying to cut back here and there as much as I can, you know. But Manny, go ahead.
Well, first, I just want to say a shout out to Vanilla Brother Jake Anderson, DV Short, SM Gibson, and of course Shannon Madden and stuff like that, and of course the better half here with Nick, Brother Nick, is our lovely mocha sister Lily and all that. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna have to say to Nick, you know, I'm gonna have to talk to Lily and say, Nick, this is what's gonna happen, dude. If you don't become a vegetarian next week, Lily's leaving. She's hitting the road. I'm gonna tell Lily she's gotta hit the road and go to Costa Rica and say, see you, Nick. Bye. And I'm so proud to be able to say now, getting serious here, I'm so proud to be able to say right now that I just turned 27 years vegetarian. Valentine's Day, I was became a vegetarian 27 years ago, Valentine's Day this year. Now, if I can become a vegetarian being from Acapulco, Mexico, Nick can become one, because you know how hard it is for a Latino to become a vegetarian? It was hard back in the day in Mexico because they didn't have alternatives like they do here in the United States. And people don't understand, if you really want to protect the environment, one of the worst things, even more than smog, you know, the car smog and all this, it's these animals, you know, all this water wasting. You know, it takes all these gallons of, you know, just to create a pound of beef, you know, I mean, 1,500 gallons of, you know, of water. That's a lot of, you know, I mean, it's just
a lot of water,
creation. Yeah. And now people wonder why the United States has all these people criticizing them. When it comes to the resources, we are 5% of the world's population here in the United States, yet this country is using 30% of the world's resources. I'd be pissed off too, you know what I mean? Seriously, you know? So that's one of the things that needs to change and all that, you know? I also want to, before I forget, I also want to say, you know, a shout out to Hugo Castro, an activist that you know, was disappeared and they found him and stuff like that. So I just want to send a shout out to his family. I'm glad he's back and he's not dead, you know, stuff like that. So that's really good.
Yeah, we briefly talked about what he was doing and what happened to him a couple shows back. And, you know, happy to announce that he's been recovered. He's not completely, you know, he wasn't unscathed. He was injured badly. I guess he was kidnapped or something. Something happened to him. He was hospitalized. And anyway, he's you know, they're bringing him back home, and you know, he's getting back here, and you know, he's okay. You know.
Generally. And so for me as a vegetarian, because of what it does to the environment, number one. Also, as you guys well know out there, I'm an activist for animal rights. You know, big time. You know, if animals treated us the way we treat animals, we'd be screwed already. Bottom line and stuff like that. You know. So in saying that is I'll be down in San Diego County on Saturday to do the climate march, which is very important. 350 will be in the house and stuff like that. I'll also be in San Diego County and stay over till Monday the 1st, because we're going to be having a big protest, a big march going down from the federal courthouse in downtown San Diego to Barrio Logan, which just completed the Chicano Park. Just turned 47 years celebration. So that was a big celebration. Also, it was great to see Earth Day. I want to send a shout out to some people that are really making a difference out there. Eva Roof and Mo Roof and stuff like that. They're doing off the grid and stuff like that. And it's really something that they're making compost. They're teaching people how to live off the grid compost, how to treat the environment nicely and stuff like that. So I think that's very important and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, I think we had Eva Roof on the show several years back, actually.
You did?
To talk about some of the stuff. She's been doing a lot of green stuff for a long time. So, yeah, you know, off-grid, decentralizing energy. These are the main things here with Earth Day. And, of course, man, like, it is kind of, you know, you get guilty eating beef knowing how these cows are treated, dude. Like, exactly. I mean, at the very least, we should be sourcing our food, like, humanely. And the way that we've come to treat animals, and not only in this country but around the world, it's shameful. Like, it really is, man. Like, you know, we don't got to torture animals to eat them. You know, we can eat them and be okay with that, be okay to them too.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we don't need to, you know, we don't need to pamper them and keep them in luxury. We're going to eat them, but we don't need to torture them, dude. Like, that's messed up.
Well, also consider, and first of all, I really recommend anyone out there who's interested in vegetarianism and veganism to there's two documentaries that I think Manny would agree with me on, and Nick. One is Cowspiracy, and
that's a great one.
Oh yeah.
And Forks Over Knives,
Big time.
They both tackle different areas of the issue, and it's such an important issue because it affects so many different things. First of all, Forks Over Knives goes into the health component of it, and how animal protein actually has deleterious effects on your heart and possibly causes higher cancer rates, and milk too. So, you know, it's worth looking at. And then, of course, Cowspiracy shows just how a massive of an impact animal agriculture has on it's the number one, source of carbon emissions of everything. It beats cars. So, I mean, imagine that. It beats power plants. And I get it. It's hard. Meat is good. I get it. I mean, and kids like it, and it's hard to wean a family off of meat. But really consider minimizing and reducing the amount of meat you eat, because it has a huge impact on your health and on the environment.
Seriously,
and on animal rights, like Nick was saying. I mean, it's barbaric the way they're treated. So you're talking about a humane issue. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but brutality, environment, and health, three very compelling reasons.
That's correct. I recommend two books too out there. I became a vegetarian when I read A Diet for a New America by John Robbins. Also, there's another good book that's called Beyond Beef with the author, I can't think his name, but it's Beyond Beef. And also, I recommend Plant Nation. Plant Nation's very, very, you know, forward about everything and stuff like that, you know. So it just so I will encourage anybody that if you think you can become a vegetarian, think about a guy like myself from Mexico City becoming a vegetarian. That was tough and stuff like that. So I will say that Nick here, Brother Nick, has to be a vegetarian starting May Day, 1st of May.
Man, I don't know. I was watching him eat some pho when I was in town. I don't know, man.
Some beef.
He ordered an extra plate of raw beef.
It's true. It's true, man. I'm not going to deny it. However, I do know that I've been attempting at least to cut back here where I can.
But hey, Nick quit smoking this year. That's a good, you know, that's a good year, you know. Give him a break.
Jake, I wanted to, before we move on from this topic, because we're going to talk next about some immigration stuff going on. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this lab-grown beef, both of you guys? Jake first. What do you make of this lab-grown beef? Because I was looking at this as it could possibly be a solution to people who don't technically want to eat, you know, animal meat, but that it's still meat, but it's not grown from an animal, and it's also much, much less resource intensive. I mean, what do you think about lab-grown meat, Jake?
First of all, quickly, Manny had mentioned Costa Rica, and it's worth noting that in 2015, I wrote an article about this for the site. In 2015, 99% of Costa Rica's electricity came from renewable energy. So there's countries out there that are making it work. As far as lab-grown meat, I'll be honest with you, I haven't done a lot of research on it, but even what's the global consortium of nations? I can't think.
United Nations, the UN?
Yeah, the UN, Jesus. The UN, even the UN said that by 2050, people will be eating synthetic meat because it's just simply unsustainable for us to keep raising animals the way we're doing. Now, I think with anything, obviously it's provided that it's not a living creature, it seems to me, stands to reason that it's a much more ethical way of eating meat. We'd have to look at, you know, the health issues, you know, what the GMO situation is, where is this stuff coming from? What is it? What health effects it has on it? You know, what environmental effects the synthetic beef has. I mean, but off the top of my head, it seems to me that it would be a more ethical way of giving people meat substances. Although, I'll be honest with you, I already think there's some great substitutes out there. Seitan and tempeh. I mean, if you cook that stuff right, it tastes just like meat. But I don't know. Manny, what are your thoughts on lab-grown beef? I haven't done that much research on it.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's true. There's a lot of stuff out there that there's a meatloaf place where they serve meatloaf, and if you didn't know that that was not real beef, you would know the difference, you know. And it's just important. Like, for instance, I'll give you a good example. Yesterday I ate at the Veggie Grill on Sunset Boulevard. Obviously they have one, but they also have one down here in Carlsbad and one at UTC. I ate at the Veggie Grill, which, because one of the things that I promote is vegan restaurants and vegetarian restaurants, and so does they have a roof and more roof. They call them green places. And the Veggie Grill is one of them. I was eating what I love, buffalo wings. Think about it, as a vegetarian, being able to eat buffalo wings. Are you kidding me?
Were they good?
Yeah. Super. There are all kinds of substitutes out there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm definitely interested in this lab-grown meat. I've read that it uses way less resources. I'm trying to remember the exact statistics, but I believe I saw one company who was claiming like 90-95% fewer resources to grow it. So, you know, it is an interesting technology that is just in the last year or two has gained a lot of traction and financial backing. The interesting thing is that, like, these are actually, you know, biological cells. I mean, they extract what do they call those? Like stem cells, basically. They extract stem cells from living animals, and then they, using those stem cells, they like clone the cells and create this meat product.
Oh, okay.
So it's you know, some of these products, they actually are meat. They're just not, you're not slaughtering an animal to
right
Okay.
And you're using a lot less resources. So it is something interesting to keep an eye on. You know, we're going to have a special guest on the show in about 10 minutes to talk about some foreign policy stuff, a guy by the name of Aaron Nelson that's working on a campaign with us and several other people to shed some light on this increasing march towards war that Trump is, you know, taking us down. Not just Trump, but of course this is just a continuation of the Bush-Obama policies that I guess a lot of people voted for Trump thinking he was not going to go down that route, but unfortunately he has. And so there's a major campaign underway to kind of stand up to Donald Trump. And so we're going to have Aaron on the line in a little bit. But first, I want to talk about some issues that are really pressing right now here in the U.S., which is immigration. And the government is threatening to go on the brink of shutting down, you know, and they say shutting down. I make quotes when I say that because the government doesn't actually shut down. It just some functions stop working. But I don't know if you guys have heard about this. There's like a budget impasse on the funding for the wall because, you know, Donald Trump ran on this platform of, hey, we're going to build this giant wall on the border and Mexico is going to pay for it. Well, that was really dumb because Mexico isn't going to pay for it. And I've written kind of extensively on this topic about how regardless of how Trump goes about trying to wind up paying for this thing, the U.S. taxpayer is going to pay for it. You know, first of all, upfront costs, right? Billions of dollars in you know, cost to build this wall, and it's going to be taken out of our tax money. And this is what the big controversy is going on right now in Congress. And, of course, the Democrats are saying they don't want to fund it, even though, you know, I think the wall is also pretty popular among Democrats. But and then you got people within the Freedom Caucus of the Republican Party who are also standing in the way. And so this is something that may, you know, Trump may not be able to get, you know, get it to pass right away. And the other thing, too, is that that wall is going to they're going to break ground on it here in San Diego. And so this is going to be a big fight. I mean, people here are already out protesting at the businesses that are putting in bids for this to build the wall and stuff. And so this isn't going to – it's not like they're going to just be able to go over there and start building this thing. I think there's going to be some unforeseen actions, possibly something along the lines of like the Dakota Access Pipeline and the Standing Rock stuff going on. And that may be – ground zero of that may be right here in San Diego. So we're going to
– and they'll be on both sides.
Yeah, and we're going to see what happens. And, you know, it's going to be a very interesting time. And as Manny was mentioning earlier, one of the guys that is a huge activist with the immigrant community here in San Diego, which is the dude Hugo Castro, he recently got kidnapped down in Mexico. So, I mean, this is a – It's a really dangerous time to be involved in border activism and immigrant activism and stuff. Manny, you're heavily involved in this stuff. Tell us a little bit about what's going on right now. What's on your radar when it comes to the immigration issue? Because, you know, this is probably one of Trump's biggest campaign promises. And he's going to try really hard to, first of all, build this wall and follow through on his deportation stuff, which, of course, I'm completely against because I don't believe that human beings can be illegal. We're on a huge giant rock floating through space that has fake lines drawn on it that says, oh, certain people can't cross these certain lines. I think that's all bullshit. Mm-hmm. But Manny, you're up on this stuff. Tell us about what's going on right now. And you know what you're
well as
you know,
far as immigration, people that know me as an activist know that I don't believe in no flags and no borders. And when it comes to people saying, well, you were undocumented at one time, and of course they didn't use the word undocumented. They said you were illegal. Nobody's illegal. I was undocumented. Big difference. And I will say that, you know, I didn't cross the border. The border crossed me, you know. And so one of the things that there was a big rally down here, and of course, I didn't make it for Friday. I didn't come until later. Friday, Attorney General Sessions was here. And also, who's the Chief of Homeland Security? He was in town, too. And there was a big protest at the border between 10 in the morning and 12. And stuff like that, you know. And of course, you guys know what Sessions is all about. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And whoever is the person that's in charge of Homeland Security was also here. So the people weren't taking this folded down. Now, the last time I was at the border to, you know, to help the people that are boycotting Driscoll and all the problems that are happening at the border, that border looks like I'm in Berlin or I'm in Israel, between Israel and Palestine. I mean, it looks like, wow, they even knocked down the whole parking lot now. So I have a feeling that they're going to make a jail right there, and then immigration jail right in the middle of the two borders. I mean, it's crazy, but that's what it looks like to me and stuff like that. Now, Trump has gotten rid of DACA, has got rid of DAPA, which is basically the Dreamers. You know, the Dreamers had hope that something was going to happen. Now, all of a sudden, it looks like it's gone down the drain and stuff like that. He wants to deport 11 million people. That's a lot of people to deport. That's going to be costly and stuff like that.
It's going to cost a lot of money.
A lot of money. That border is not cheap either. And what people don't understand, whoever builds that border better be having some high security, because people are not going to take this down, you know, I mean, take this, you know, laying down and stuff like that, you know. So my message to Donald Trump is, you know, that, you know, he better understand that Mexico is not happy with him, and he does not want to piss off Mexico. We're our neighbors. We need to create bridges and not walls and stuff like that. And so when I march on Monday, I'm going to say the same slogan I've been saying when I've been doing pro-Trump slogans, which is, Trump's a clown. Trump's a, excuse me. Trump's a fool. Trump's a clown. We are here to shut him down. You know,
that's exactly
what we need to.
Completely accurate too. You know?
So,
right?
Yeah.
And looking back, dude, I mean, how many times have people tried building walls? Right? They never work.
They don't.
The Great Wall of China. They built it along the northern edge of China to try to hold out the Mongolian hordes. And guess what? The Mongolians conquered China. And, you know, the one example that I think of a lot, and it's so symbolic, is the Romans and how they built that big wall over in England. You remember that? They built a wall. The Romans built a big wall in England. I don't know the name of it. But it divided the northern half of England from the southern half. And that was like at the furthest extent of the British Empire. That was the peak. And after they built that wall, they started declining.
Yeah.
Because they ran out of resources, they could no longer move in advance, and they couldn't take the northern half of England, and they built this giant wall to try to hold out the indigenous people who were living there at the time. And that marked basically the end, the beginning of the end of the Roman Empire. Empire. Now, of course, they had a long decline, took a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it is very symbolic, because I compare the United States to Rome in many ways, because we are the one remaining empire right now, the main superpower on this planet that has empire that reaches all around the globe, similar to how the Romans did back in the day. Of course, the world was much smaller back then, you know, the known world or whatever, however you want to look at it. The Western world was much smaller back then.
Also, Nick, I want to say something else, because a lot of people don't think about, you know, they don't even question that. They always mention how many illegal immigrants are here in the United States, okay? But they never question is how many Northern Americans are in Mexico living down there, and they're undocumented. But the Mexican government doesn't want to deport them, because the Mexican government sees it from a different point of view, and I wish this government would see it the same way. They're bringing money in. And if they're not causing a problem, why deport them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we have to realize that and stuff like that, because it's very important. Now, as far as I'm concerned, all the hate that I've seen, I have never been stopped by immigration as many times as I've been stopped more this year than 10 years back.
Yeah.
Since Donald Trump
took
over.
They've been emboldened.
It's just crazy.
They've been emboldened by Trump.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And you know, and I agree with you, man. I've done plenty of research on immigration. And when you have a growing immigration in your country, when you have a growing population, well, guess what? That's good for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. And, you know, there's countries in like Russia and Japan where they actually pay people to have kids because they don't have enough people. They welcome immigration. They welcome refugees into their borders because they have a lack of people. And so this idea, and of course it makes sense from an emotional standpoint. if you're sitting here as an American who is uninformed and rather ignorant, not to be an asshole about this, but most Americans are, and you hear a guy say, well, the reason we have all these problems is because of Mexicans and because they're immigrating here illegally and stealing our jobs, that kind of makes sense. It sounds good, right? It sounds good. It appeals to an emotional it makes an emotional response, and it makes sense, and it's like, oh yeah, that really does make sense. But the truth of the matter is, immigrants increase the economy. They bring in money. They raise property values. They rent out places. They rent apartments from property owners. Like, immigrants add to the economy a lot, and they pay a lot of taxes too. Now, they may not pay a federal, you know, they may not pay a federal income tax. Neither do the billionaires. Neither do the billionaires. But they pay taxes on everything else, dude. Pay taxes on everything else. And, you know, they add. And I don't even like taxes. Screw taxes suck anyway. So I just make that argument because people like making that argument. Well, what about the taxes? Well, first of all, screw taxes. Second of all, they already pay taxes. So your argument's invalid. Third of all, human beings aren't illegal, and we're splitting up families, we're deporting people who are just nonviolent people. Look, if you're an immigrant that is dumb enough to go around committing a bunch of violent crimes, I'm not going to pity you if you get picked up and flown out, yeah. Given back to your old country. But if you're just a person here trying to create a better life for yourself, not hurting anybody, we shouldn't be going around spending billions of dollars trying to deport people and building huge ass walls to keep them out. We shouldn't. Especially when we're a contributing factor to the deteriorating situation south of the border. Like NAFTA and the drug war, for instance, a bunch of other economic imperialism that had gone on a lot south of Mexico, actually, you know, down in like Guatemala and Nicaragua and places down in Central America and stuff. All this economic imperialism that has been going on for over 100 years on behalf of the United States, well, that shit comes home to roost. I mean, this idea of blowback and, you know, every action causes a reaction. Well, if you go down and you topple the government of Honduras, and then a year later you're like, well, why are all these immigrants coming in here from Honduras? Well, I think I got a little clue about why, because you're toppling their governments down there. And, you know, that's something that happened very recently. What was it, 2009, 2011? Yeah. I can't remember. I think it was 2009.
Very recent.
It went off with Hillary Clinton's blessing. I mean, these people are creating these issues. And then everyone's like, well, I wonder why Donald Trump's getting a bunch of popularity by running against the immigrant crisis. Well, because you guys are – these people are creating the opportunity for people like Donald Trump.
And then when activist Berta Cáceres said that Hillary was involved in this, the next day she's dead.
She's dead, yeah. And, you know, another hot topic right now that is similar to this is the French election. And, you know, I wanted to talk about that. I'm going to bring our guest on. He's going to join us in a few minutes here. Let's see if I can get him on.
See you, Benella, brother, too.
Yeah. hold on. I got his wrong profile here. There we go. All right. We'll see if says he's not online. We'll see if he comes on. The other issue here, the French election, you know, Marine Le Pen just got second place, which means she's going to be heading to a runoff election. Over in France, they have like this top two kind of electoral system. Basically, what goes on there is the people who garner the two people that garner the most votes go to a head-to-head runoff. And there was like 11, they had like 11 different presidential candidates. There was the two top.
Wow, they actually have third parties?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Actually, the guy that got first place is a third party candidate. He's an independent. So that's, you know, that's a first in France in a long time. Is they have basically their version of Republicans and their version of Democrats. Neither one of those parties wound up in the runoff. So it is pretty interesting. So, you know, the status quo is very unpopular in France.
Wow.
The guy that took first is an independent, but the one that came in a close second is a woman by the name of Marine Le Pen, which many people have compared to Donald Trump. In fact, she has many, many policy stances that are much more to the right, further to the right of Donald Trump. But see, the same exact situation is going off over there in France. Not same exact, but very similar situation is going off over there, as is going on here, where whereas Donald Trump was empowered by people like Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and you know Bill Clinton and the deep state, the people who have been toppling governments in Latin America for the last 120 years or whatever they've been doing. The immigration crisis that was caused by our intervention is obviously, giving Donald Trump some ground to stand on. And what's going on in Europe, and the reason that is what's leading to, Marine Le Pen gaining popularity, is the migrant crisis, the refugee crisis. And so France is not innocent here. France just got done helping topple Libya. France got done militarily intervening in Mali all by itself. France helps is part of the U.S. coalition in Syria. I mean, so the refugee crisis, which is being partially caused by the French government, is now leading to the popularity of this far-right, anti-immigrant, xenophobic party called the National Front, which is right now being headed by Marine Le Pen, which is the second the person that's going to be in the runoff election over there in France. So, this blowback and these policies are now coming home to roost, not only here in the United States with Trump, but it's now happening all across Europe. There's a far right rising as well in Germany, which, we all know how that went off that last time that happened. Oh. Brexit recently happened. I know now, again, I kind of fall in a strange place here on this stuff, because from a principal standpoint, I am in favor of Brexit, because I'm in favor of decentralizing government, and the less centralization of power, the better. So if England wants to leave the European Union, I'm for that. However, the issue was that the Brexit campaign was run similar to a way that Donald Trump ran his campaign, where they ran against Muslims, they ran against minorities, and it was a very xenophobic, nationalistic movement. When in reality, you don't need crappy ideas like that to push through this awesome idea of self-determination. Self-determination, autonomy, sovereignty, these are great, awesome ideas. You don't need to dirty them by tying in nationalism and xenophobia and crap like that and isolationism. And not, I don't mean isolationism from a foreign policy standpoint, but like economic isolationism and stuff like that. We don't need to do all that stuff and taint these great ideas of independence and self-determination. Those ideas stand on their own. So, the fact is people run on these anti-immigrant things because they work well for politicians who are playing off of people's emotions. Donald Trump is a president who is elected solely off of people's fears and emotions. Mm-hmm. And, that's what Donald Trump is. Joining us on the show, we have Aaron Nelson on the line. I believe he's in Phoenix right now. Aaron, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Been really busy. How are you guys?
Really good. Busy as well. Happy to be back because we missed our show on Wednesday due to some weird technical issues, but happy to have you on. And we're on this topic of Trump, and you've been spearheading this campaign called hashtag Stand Down Mr. Trump. Aaron, tell us a little bit about what you have going on there.
We've been working on this now for how long has it been since April 6th? Now about 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
About that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you know a lot about it. The anti-media has been involved. A few other outlets have been involved. We're trying to find common ground between open source media outlets, basically, or modern media, alternative media, whatever you want to call it, trying to unite against these geopolitical escalations that Trump suddenly just launched.
All of a sudden, Trump has gotten really trigger happy, right?
Oh, yeah.
And this is a candidate who ran against a lot of these foreign policy, stances, especially on regime change. I mean, Trump created a lot of controversy when he said, hey, maybe toppling Saddam Hussein wasn't the best idea. Yeah, he wasn't great, but the alternative, the replacement, mm-hmm. is even worse.
He took the same line with Assad too. Exact same.
Yeah. He also famously
and Gaddafi.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. He famously said Gaddafi should never have been taken out. I agree with Donald. Those are one of the few things that I agreed with Donald Trump on. But then he gets into office. A few weeks go by. The deep state gets a hold of him. They get rid of anybody that was in his cabinet that was thinking outside the box. And all of a sudden, Donald Trump is bombing Syria. And that is what stirred, you know, immediately brought us, you know, inspired us to action to try to stop the next world war, basically, because that was, you know, worst case scenario. You know, if some things happen over there, the wrong things happen, you know, this could trigger World War III. Syria is a hot, is a flashpoint. It's a tinderbox that's just waiting to be lit. And it almost happened when Trump went and bombed the Syrian airbase, and that's what you guys are trying to stop. That's what we're trying to stop, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to stop. And to touch upon what you were just talking about, how it's opposite of what he was campaigning on, it's pretty much exactly what happened to the left with Obama. It's just happening on the right now. He just told us exactly what, or not us, but you know, the his audience, his supporters, exactly what they wanted to hear. And it's not, it appears to not be at all what he actually intended to do, whether they're forcing his hand or not. I mean, he can always play that card and always use that as an excuse. It's like, oh, they're forcing him to do it. People were saying that about Obama. They were saying that. I mean, that's always going to be an excuse. But either way, it doesn't change the outcome.
Yeah, you know, one interesting aspect that you kind of made me think of right now is how, you know, Obama came into office kind of as a far left candidate, right? He was like very aggressive. He was like very anti-war. And then what Obama succeeded in doing was he got the far left and he moved it not only to the center but like to the right on many issues on foreign policy and many many important issues and economics and stuff like that. They moved the left up to the middle and almost into the right. And now what's going on with Trump is they've gotten the far right, like the isolationist kind of nationalist far right, and they've kind of aggregated them around Trump, and now Trump is pulling them back to the like neoconservative center, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
This is an interesting phenomenon going on here, but Aaron, tell us about this campaign, because I think one thing that we're trying to do here is break through and get to the people, because obviously Trump doesn't have any support from the center to the left. There's very, very little support there. But on the right, you know, he's still got a big base and people are still believing the shit that he's saying. Even though those of us who are able to objectively look at Trump, we can see that he's already been kind of handled by the deep state and he's just doing their bidding at this point. But Aaron, tell me some of the ideas that we're working with here as far as how we're going to break through and get the attention of people who are still kind of happy or at least okay with Donald Trump and get them to realize, hey, dude, we're being misled here in the same way that, you know, Obama misled his supporters.
It's very tricky. It's not an easy task to take on, but I feel like people really just need to choose which side of history they're going to be on right now. There's no time to delay. We have enough evidence on Trump. He's revealed his hand. We know exactly what's going to unfold unless there's resistance. And after 8 years of Obama, the anti-war movement was nearly dissolved. I mean, it's always kind of revolved around the I guess you'd call it, I'm bad with political labels because they confuse me. But the left, usually the anti-war movement was generally associated with the left, and he just completely killed that. So it's very, very hard to see things like 70% of Americans supported that gigantic bomb that we dropped in Afghanistan. It's hard for me to comprehend that, but that's what we're up against. And this really isn't about Trump. This isn't really a political debate. I feel like it's a human issue. And I mean, it's directly related, in my opinion, to what we've talked about before, this global political awakening that's occurring. And it's a really critical moment in history, I feel. And it's time to act. We got to unite. We got to somehow manifest de-escalation immediately, because prevention of a third world war is really the only acceptable outcome.
It's pretty important, because unlike World War I or World War II, and you know, this is a theme that we revisit here on the Anti-Media Radio fairly often, the difference between World War I, World War II, and the possibility of World War III, and this is something that Einstein also said in an interesting quote, where he said, I don't know what weapons World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stone. And basically what he was saying is that the issue now, especially after the development of the nuclear bomb, and now the main powers in the world all have them, including China, Russia, the United States, Japan probably has something, Israel, Pakistan, India, a bunch of these big players, England, France, presumably Germany as well. They all have nuclear armaments. And, this time around, the whole Earth could be destroyed if we're not careful. Yep. And so, basically, World War III is not it's not one of those things where you can say, that sucks. World War III is going to suck.
We'll win it. There's no winning.
I wish it didn't happen, or I wish it doesn't have to happen. It's like, we're all dead.
Yeah.
That's worst case,
game over.
World War III goes off, we're all done. Like, we can't let that happen.
Mm-hmm. Really, really frightening, too, is you got, on both sides of the geopolitical spectrum, you got someone like Bannon, who wants to burn it all down and rebuild. You got someone like Alexander Dugin, who wants to do the exact same thing. They both think they have to burn the current, I guess you'd call it the New World Order, and build afresh in what they have in mind for the new structure of the world.
New World Order.
Yeah, exactly. But in my opinion, I agree with you. I don't think we survive. If there's a Third World War, that's it.
Yeah. Or, maybe a few people live. Maybe extremely rich. But a lot of people die.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people. And species and extinctions and whole forests be wiped out. and so this is a big, big issue. And so we're putting together a movement called Stand Down, Mr. Which is to try to get the public to get back into his ear, because the main thing that we can use to get Trump to move on issues is his own ego. His own ego is probably the biggest factor in his decision making, and if you make it look like his ego is being compromised, well, you can get him to change his mind on things.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only thing right now that it looks like could give us peace of mind, Trump will step back and he's not going to start World War III, is the public getting in the way. The public needs to get into his ear. His own base needs to get in the way. And I think a lot of people, because of the bombing in Syria, a lot of his own base started waking up. But again, going back to the other thing, when he dropped the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan, a bunch of people support that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you saw the footage of that bomb, it was so big, and they dropped it on an area that is populated, and they supposedly killed ISIS guys, but that bomb terrorized a bunch of people. I don't know if you guys saw the footage, but it was bad. If you were anywhere near that thing, you would have been terrorized.
I mean, it's a historical moment in history that's going down in the history books. That's going to be a defining event, in my opinion.
Biggest
non-nuclear bomb ever dropped.
and that was only a couple weeks after he went and bombed Syria.
Yep, on flimsy evidence. No investigation, no evidence at all that was Assad's responsibility.
I'm not convinced Assad did it. In fact, I'm more convinced that Assad didn't do it.
He has no motive. I'm convinced.
No,
yeah,
motive, I don't see. No evidence. That wouldn't hold up in court. It just wouldn't. You would think that bombing another country, you would at least have the amount of criteria that you would have in a court case, right? It's like, okay, here's the evidence, here's the motive. Okay, this guy probably did it. We don't have evidence or a motive in Syria, and yet we're already bombing this country.
Mm-hmm. That's what's so frightening. That's why we're so convinced that this is just the beginning. If he was willing to do that on nothing, there's a lot more coming.
Yeah, and so the other thing, and this isn't, we're not just talking about one front here. Now, these lunatics in charge, not only are they basically trying to take on Russia in Syria. Now, this whole thing in Syria, it's not just about Syria. I think it's mostly about Russia, actually.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Now, at the same time, we got a bunch of ships steaming towards North Korea. In fact, one of the carrier groups just arrived today or yesterday, last night, I think. And so, just like Syria is not completely about Syria, it's about Russia.
Mm-hmm.
North Korea is obviously not just about North Korea, it's about China.
Yeah, we got Russia, Syria, China, North Korea, Afghanistan, Iran, Yemen. They're all escalating quickly.
Yeah, so there's a multi-front war here going on, and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be really, really ugly if any of these things turn hot. And if any of the big major powers wind up shooting at each other, we're looking at a very, very bad situation for the future of humanity. This is why it's so important to put a stop to it. I mean, nobody wants these damn wars to happen.
No.
Nobody wants to go fight and kill people. Nobody wants to spend, you know, billions and trillions of dollars going around the world and being the policeman of the world. And that's why Trump beat Hillary Clinton in the election, because he ran on those ideas. He ran on ideas of, look, we're not going to do nation building. Yeah. We're not going to do regime change. We're not going to go around adventurism with the military. We're just going to fight ISIS. That's it. And instead, Trump is becoming even more hawkish than Barack Obama.
He jumped on the meme of don't go for Hillary Clinton because she's going to start World War III by doing the exact same things that he's doing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And another thing I thought of too that we should mention is the biggest complaint I've seen in social media about the hashtag right now is people assume that we're calling for Trump to resign. And I would like to just kind of point out that we're not opposed to that idea, we're definitely well aware of the fact that, you know, Pence is just as bad of an option moving forward, perhaps even worse. But what we're meaning by stand down is that Trump needs to stand down from continuing to escalate these geopolitical tensions towards World War III. He needs to stop carrying out the neocon agenda, like, immediately. And whether or not that means he has to resign and then we have to have Pence resign, but I don't know what the path forward is or how it's going to happen or what's going on behind the scenes with the deep state, but that's the end goal, to have him stand down from continuing to escalate.
And what's interesting, just to make a quick point here, is that Trump's own base is so much on board with this. They do not want war and regime change. So short of a terrorist attack towards the end of his first term, which of course would probably get him reelected due to the fear of a terrorist attack, and of course I think it's very possible that something like that could happen, but short of that happening, I don't understand how he expects to get reelected when he's abandoning such a major part of his platform.
I mean, talking about an attack too, when you got Noam Chomsky of all people warning that Trump may pull off a false flag terrorist attack.
Right.
That's a big deal.
When you have Noam Chomsky talking about false flags, you know there's something wrong. Because that dude has been pretty...
disappointing with 9/11, that's
yes,
for sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep, definitely.
Very interesting. Very interesting stuff, dude. So, Aaron, how can people get involved? I know there's some people listening tonight that are already aware of this campaign. But those that aren't, how can they get involved in the Stand Down Mr. Trump campaign?
You can search the hashtag on Facebook or Twitter, and you'll start seeing a stream of thoughts and posts and media and videos and memes, all kinds of stuff, articles. We got a couple things we're brainstorming and trying to manifest right now. Something like we've been working on a video montage, actually, of a bunch of the modern media activists and journalists speaking out and speaking their mind on how they feel about Trump's recent escalations in all these countries. We got a bunch of memes for Stand Down Mr. Trump that we want to turn into a graphic set so people can print off PDFs, and maybe we can supply some stickers, send them out so people can actually get involved, you know, off of Facebook. They can get off Facebook, get involved in the real world, start putting them up around town and the local communities, maybe take a picture, upload to social media, use the hashtag. And I mean, if we really want to go all out, we can start using all of our media coalition and actually gather all those photos, turn them into like a little epic Creative Commons articles, you know, to further launch the operation and the public's awareness, things like that, bit by bit, it's all together. But joining the group on Facebook is where I would recommend to start. There's I think it's just facebook.com/groups, I think is the tag, and then what is it? Stand Down Mr. Trump.
Nice. Yeah, and you know, the other thing too, man, is that all this hype on North Korea, I mean, I get it with Assad. I mean, there's plenty of reports that say Assad is a butcher and he's done really bad things, and I don't dispute a lot of those reports. Mm-hmm. I don't think he used the recent chemical attack. I don't think that was him, but I'm not doubting that Assad is a brutal politician, not that unlike most politicians around the world. I think most politicians are relatively brutal people. from the United States to Russia and everywhere in between. I think there's a bunch of corrupt politicians all around.
There's no good guy.
Yeah, not many good politicians out there. Very few. So I don't doubt that. But looking at North Korea, they get the worst rap out of anybody, I think. And, you know, we can't forget that we fought North Korea, or we fought in Korea a long time ago, and we kind of we didn't really win or lose. In fact, North and South Korea are still technically at war with each other. They just have like an armistice or something like that.
Yep, that's correct.
And so because of the fact that North Korea has been our enemy ever since the Korean War, which was, you know, in the mid to late 50s, there's been nothing but just anti-North Korean propaganda that have been seeded in the brains of Americans since then. You know, it's been over, you know, 60 years that we've been making North Korea out to be the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Now, it's time, you know, we need a reality check here on North Korea. North Korea has never bombed anybody outside of Korea.
No.
North Korea doesn't go around invading countries. They don't bomb people. Do they treat their own people like shit, according to what we're told on the media? Yes. Do I believe 100% of what we're told? No, because a lot of it is propaganda, because North Korea is our enemy. But I think a lot of the reports are probably true. I'm sure they do have labor camps. I'm sure they do employ some forms of slave labor and stuff like that.
I mean, we got our same issues. If you've ever watched some of North Korea's propaganda on us, it's not really propaganda. I mean, it's just talking about how we have the biggest prison complex in the world, and like, we're not free. Our citizens are terrorized by police, and the police kill people in the street. Like, yeah, we have plenty of problems.
Yeah, and so we don't have any moral high ground to go tell North Korea, hey guys, you're not doing freedom right. You're doing freedom wrong. Well, they may be doing freedom wrong, but so are we. We're killing 1,000 people in the street every year with our cops. We got the largest prison population per capita maybe in the history of humanity.
We're invading countries and bombing countries and killing civilians. Yeah,
we're bombing countries. In fact, Jake is me and Jake were talking about this when he was here in at the anti-media office the other day, about how, you know, the war on terror has now taken as many casualties in Iraq as it did as the Vietnam War took over in Vietnam. People don't realize it.
Wow.
Over 1.3 million total, and that's
And isn't Afghanistan the longest war?
Yeah, it's like 15 years, so it's certainly up there. I mean, I don't know if it beats Vietnam at this point or not, but I mean, basically, it's the same as Vietnam, except no one gives a shit.
Yep.
Yeah, because our own guys aren't dying anymore.
Well, and the biggest terrorist to peace is the United States. There's no doubt about it and stuff like that. I mean, that's a fact, you know, stuff like that, you know. Before we go, I want to say congratulations to Jake Anderson for your project that you're doing, okay?
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that. Good to hear you on here, Manny. It's been a while.
Thank you.
Jake, what's the name of your movie again?
It's called What Happened to Elisa Lam. And yeah.
Ooh, that, and you that just got sounds done interesting.
$30,000 on Kickstarter for it. Great job on that, dude.
Yeah.
Looking forward nice. To hopefully your meeting is good. Meeting went well in LA, and you know, hopefully this movie's gonna get out there soon, because you know, it's a very interesting case with some very interesting wrinkles that I know you're gonna touch on.
It's a cool story, man, but ultimately one of these days I wanna make some kind of documentary, like I said, on the deep state and false flags. I just don't know how the hell you get to anyone who will talk about it.
Yeah, well, maybe by then Trump will be out of office and he'll be ready to run his mouth. before then, though, we have to make sure he doesn't kick off World War III. So make sure you guys just go search that hashtag out on social media, Stand Down Mr. Trump, and join the group. Follow us. Keep an eye out on the anti-media. Aaron has been running some interesting campaigns. We've now been employing robots to help us spread the message. So that's a very interesting interesting angle that Aaron's been on top of for us. You know, we got some really interesting stuff in the pipeline. We're going to be meeting up tomorrow to talk about it. So hopefully we can announce some stuff on Wednesday. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back Wednesday, but the Anti-Media Radio is here 5 days a week, same place, same time. Peace out, everybody.
Buenas noches.
I'ma let them know, no, do the stereo. Yo, here we go, go, do the stereo, stereo.